How is everybody?
Good.
Was it just you and me, Joanne, or other people?
I don't know. No, it looks like other people are on the list, although my webpage now looks odd.
Yeah. My phone's buzzing, so.
It looks like Jeff, Kazway, Raj.
Yeah, I don't know if they're on the WebEx, but I don't know if they're on the phone.
Oh,
so I'm on the phone.
I'll take attendance in a minute.
Yeah, I'm here, Kazi.
Hi. All right, let's see. Let's get who's on now. All right. Jennifer, you on? Michael Charnas. Christy Petranko's going to be late. Claire Coles, Cristiano, Jeff Wozniak, Joanne.
Hi there.
Johann Eberhardt, Kazoo is on.
Yes.
Masaki on as well?
I think he will be out to be late.
Okay. Peter Hammond? Sarah Matson?
Yep, I'm here.
Scott Parnell? Tatiana's not, she's going to be late. Tom Blanchard and Tina are not going to be on. Bill Barnett?
Yeah, I'm here.
Tom Donaldson?
Hi, Ed.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Kathy there? Bill Dunty, Dale Harold?
We're here.
Okay. Anyone on the line who I didn't call?
This is Jeff.
Scott is here.
I just got on.
Scott's there. I heard him. Who else?
Yes.
Jeff.
Jeff Wozniak.
Cristiano. And Jeff.
Okay. So, Michael Charnas, Jennifer Thomas.
Yep.
Claire Coles. Oh, Jennifer's there. All right. Claire. Johann. Peter Hammond. Tatiana.
She'll be a little bit late.
Hey, hi, Leah. How are you?
Yes.
Helen?
Yes, hello. This is Helen.
Hi. Mike Suddy or Raj Miranda?
Raj is here.
Okay. All right. I know a few people are going to be late. Christy Petranko and Tatiana. We're going to be a little late getting on, but this is our first CFAS 4 conference call, and I know we just all got funding and we're just starting this thing out, but these are regular monthly. Hello.
This is Claire.
Hey, Claire. Regular monthly calls that we have, in which we try to find out what progress people are making, have people present their data in a more detailed fashion than just a few minutes, and try to resolve any issues and problems that we may have and discuss the directions that we're going. So there are some things that I have to remind everybody to do. And Jill is running in, hand me notes. Well, we had that intro call in July, right? And I did an over. You have to forgive me. I'm a little jet lagged. I just came back from Africa, so I'm a little slow yet. All right. So the first item on that I'm supposed to remind everybody is that the IRB and IACUC protocols should all be in place or going to be in place within the next few days. I think we've received all of them except two, and I think one of them, the Tories Project, is expected tomorrow. I think, Joanne, yours is the one that's outstanding now, I believe.
Yes, and it shouldn't be too much longer. Part of our issue was we needed everyone else's approval and materials and everything before they approve ours, even though we're only getting samples, not actually running people in those distant sites. So there was a little bit of a holdup on that, and then we got tons of provisos back, and I think we've now answered just about everything. So hopefully this will go through quickly on the resubmission. It's about to be resubmitted.
Did you have a deadline on your funding notice?
A deadline to get this in, to release the funds?
To get IRB approval.
I don't remember.
There may have been a restriction on some of the funds until IRB approval was provided to NIAAA.
Right. I got a funding notice. I don't think they've released the money because we don't have the final approval. And mine is a little more complicated also because it's two sites at UBC. It's my lab, and it's Tim Oberlander's biobehavioral unit where the testing will actually happen. So they want for both sites. Anyway, it was a little more complicated than we anticipated, but it's on its way, and I think with everybody's help, I've been emailing people, everybody has sent me stuff. So with everybody's help, I think it should go in the next very short amount of time.
Okay. When that comes through, can you please email Jill?
Of course.
Of the approval?
Yep.
And I think, Bill, I think there was a deadline on the Tory project that they had 60 days to get it. And I don't know what the ramifications of not meeting that 60 days were, but
I'd have to go back and look at the notice. That could have been some grants management speak they kept put in there.
Okay. All right, so that's one thing that people have to get in. The Interim Research Performance Progress Reports, the RPPRs, for all the CFAS Phase 3 projects, the U24s and U01s, are due to NIAAA by September 28th. So if you had a previous project in CFAS 3, that RPPR is due. There's now, Jill, you're going to have to correct me on or fill me in on some of this. A new project outline section, outcome section, about a half a page.
Yeah, there's a new section. Sorry, I have laryngitis a little bit. So there's a new section within the RPPR for final and interim progress reports, which all CCS3 projects have to submit. And that section is Section I, and it's called Outcomes. And there's going to be a few statements, bullet points from each project written at about the high school level required by each project that will soon be posted on NIH Reporter. I tried to find an example of where it's posted on NIH Reporter. My guess is it might be like underneath the abstract, like this is what we said we were going to do and this is what we did. But I think that's still being worked out as to where it's actually going to lie, but it's going to be publicly available.
All right. Jen, do you have any comments about the website and information that you need?
Just an update. Thank you for everyone who wrote a little blurb for their description of the project and sent them in. I'm working on those right now to edit them to make sure that they're really in a very simple lay language. But I did not necessarily get one thing I do need, and I think Jill's pulling up the site right now. If you go to the CFAS website, to the Research tab, you'll see that there are descriptions of each research project. So if you scroll down, Jill, on each of these we have that little lay description of the project, which you hopefully have sent to me. Again, I've sent feedback to some of you, but the rest of you will be hearing from me. We do need to make sure we have a picture. We'd like to have a picture of everybody, so if I don't have a picture, please send that. And then a couple of slides that really illustrate what your project is trying to accomplish. The remainder that's on there is just your abstract and narrative, which we have. So if you haven't sent a couple of slides to represent your project and or a photo, please send those to Jill and so that we can get that site updated. The second piece of business I just wanted to mention, Jill's going to be sending out a doodle poll to all the new investigators so that we can go through the publication process. And once we have a time and date set when everybody who's new can make it, then we'll open that up if anybody else wants to join us. So those are the two things I had on my agenda.
Okay. And don't forget that if there's any news items, you know, if you win an award, you get a paper published, to please let Jen know so she can get that up there on the website. All right, and then we are putting together the presentation schedule for the upcoming monthly meetings. Once a month, someone is going to be asked to give, you know, a 15-minute overview of what they accomplished, what they're trying to do, and where they're going. And we'll hopefully get a schedule together for that within the next month. All right. Let's see if I can figure out how to share my screen. The primary item on the agenda today is to look at the interactions. We are well aware of the interactions that were proposed for CFAS-4. And what we want to do today, and everybody I think was asked to provide slides or be ready to present a few slides, showing their interactions and the timeline. And so I thought, Jill, if I can meet a quick start, right? Share my screen.
You've got it.
Okay, and let's see, monitor one. All right, so this is what we basically proposed in terms of interactions. So as you can see, there's quite a number of them up there for the various projects. So what we're going to try to do today is to have people tell us where they are in formulating those interactions and what progress has been made in communicating with each of the investigators. So that we can maintain the high level of cooperation and collaboration that we've had in the past. This time we have a lot more collaboration. I mean, some projects collaborating with everybody almost. So we'll just go through the projects and people can throw up their slides. And so is Christy or Tatiana on yet? All right.
Hey, Ed.
So,
Ed,
yeah.
Before you begin, on this slide, what do the solid line and dashed lines mean?
A major contribution or a major one versus one that's less
significant.
You know, just supplying some data or whatever.
Yep. Okay.
As I recall, but all right. So why don't we just start? Ken's not on, so. Did Ken send any slides?
No.
All right. Tina did. There's no one on to explain her slides. And you can put those up, Jill. All right. So the Chambers Ukraine project has several
interactions. The slide I have is of the website.
Yeah, no, right now she's putting it on. It takes a little while for. Here we go, and then you got to blow it up. Yeah. All right. So now, all right. So according to the graph, the Chambers project is interacting with the Blanchard project, the Torrey project, the Weinberg Project, the Metzen Project, and I guess that's about it. And so this is what Tina sent, and that her collaborations with Weinberg is to analyze mother-infant pairs for markers of inflammation, collaborate with Metzen to provide validation data on the decision tree, collaborate with the Tories to provide child samples, and collaboration with Metzen to provide Chambers data set on trajectory-related variables. And then the next slide presents the timeline. So some of these are obviously, some of the collaborations she proposed are missing. And I'm not sure why, and she's not around to answer that. But so, Sarah, have you and Tina been in touch with each other about these data sets and on using them on the decision tree?
Yes.
And it's going to take a year to get the clean data set?
I hope not.
Okay. Joanne?
Yes. So, in a sense, it's a bit of a continuation of what we did, only previously we had primarily samples from pregnant women, and then a small subset of samples from children. All those data have been run. So the new project is really to get matched mother-infant pairs, infants at birth. And we haven't talked specifically, but it's kind of an ongoing relationship communication between us, so I don't think there won't be any issue. As she's collecting data, if they send samples two or three times a year to her, and she then sends them out to the various projects, including us. And that has worked very smoothly so far.
All right, so year one then is going to be pretty slow because not a lot of blood's going to be collected and sent to you.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're recruiting the pregnant women now, or they will start now. So things won't gear up till toward the end of the first year. But I think, you know, we are pretty quick in running samples once we get them. We just need enough so we can counterbalance across assays. But, as soon as we get them, we will start working on it.
All right. And with the Tories, it's going to be the school-age sample, and by the end of the first year. And have you been in touch, you and Tina been in touch about a timeline for these?
Yes. Yeah. So this is, that one which we agree.
Okay. And, all right, Sarah, you're going to provide Tina with things, right, too?
Ed, this is Dale.
Yeah.
Particularly for the newcomers, what we've done over probably the last 6 to 8 years is with Jill's help to generate goal lines where we should be on various measures or subjects or specimens, I hope that we can get that going in this phase. I think it's been very useful because at a glance we can see, where we're stuck and the line isn't going up, or when it is going up, it's great to see as well.
Yeah, no, we have every intention of maintaining and continuing and starting new goals and trajectories. We're taking the goals from what was proposed in the proposal of how many, subjects would be sampled in the first year. Try to cooperate with the investigators to find out where they have to be run in batches, so we know they're going to be slow and then go up steeply and then slow and then up steeply again. So we will... But we definitely plan on doing that because it really does give everybody a very good indication of where they are relative to what they proposed they were going to do. And it gives the SAB, as well as the staff at NIAAA, an opportunity to kind of see where resources need to be allocated, what they can do to help keep everybody on track. So, all right, Claire, do you have, I'm just going to kind of go down these the way that we've listed the projects, the UO1s. And Claire?
Yes. You hear me?
You, yep.
There are slides. I sent them to Jill.
She's putting them up, I guess. And the next one, well, we'll skip to Sarah after this because Peter and Tatiana aren't on yet.
I am on.
Oh, hello.
On.
Hey, Peter. Thanks. And we'll skip to you next.
I don't have any slides.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I've just come back from 2 weeks vacation.
Oh, me too.
No, that's you too.
We're supposed to feel sorry for you?
Yeah. Mine was spectacular. No one has to feel sorry for me at all. I'm just trying to adjust to a 9-hour time change. So. Okay. All right, Claire, you are on.
Okay, so this is FAS, Spectrum Disorders in Adults, Health and Neurobehavioral. And we can probably, you guys already know this, so go to the next slide. Okay, this is where we are interacting at the moment. Again, I just got back from 2 weeks in France, so I had to do this yesterday at the last minute, didn't know you needed it, so hopefully it's what you want. But basically, there's our project, Fetal Alcohol Disorders in Adults, which has two sites, Atlanta and Seattle, and we are interacting with the program in Vancouver to replicate the things we're doing here in a sample there. So it's been the three of us interacting all along. And the interactions so far for the Seattle program involve financial, human subjects approval, health survey development, getting materials together, and developing a presentation for Vancouver. Vancouver, you see the three things. It's the human subjects, the health survey, and the presentation. We are not yet interacting with the Dysmorphia Corps or with Peter's project because we're not collecting the hands-on sample of people that we're going to be testing until year two, so we anticipate that occurring at that time. And next slide. Our timeline is this. It's now July. We received the grant last month once our IRB was approved. This was followed this, not July, it's August. We just heard from Therese that Seattle had approved the IRB there, and we've been working with Joanne to get her the materials she needs to get her process approved. The other thing that we've been working on jointly is the health survey, and we spent a good deal of time refining that. We had a meeting at RSA. Everybody immediately went off to various vacations, and we're all back now. And Joanne assures me that she'll have some of the pieces that we need ready at the end of the week. And we hope to get that finalized and put into an electronic form so that we can pilot it. We've also been purchasing tests and materials and things like that and finalizing a contract with LexisNexis, essentially, to start searching for research for the registry subjects. We're also doing staff recruitment and training. We anticipate getting all of this in order and everybody tested and beginning recruitment of for the registry in January. Before that time, the database will be created. And we will pilot also the assessment protocols for year two. So that's where we are.
All right, so the assessment protocols for year two, so you're not really going to test any subjects then in the first year?
No, in the first year what we're going to do is try to identify those subjects for the registry, And we will, and everybody who agrees to be in the registry will get a health survey that can be done online or by phone.
And that's completed.
That is in process. We have much of the survey developed, but there are a couple parts, particularly immunology, which we needed more information on. And so we hope that that will be done very shortly, and then that has to be coded into REDCap so it can be done online.
We are working on that. We are working on that piece to complete it, and then we'll have a group call the end of the week or start of next week to go over everything.
Because what I need to do is to start recruiting subjects and then not have something for them to do.
Right, right.
Oh, no,
they
we won't.
Forget about it by the end of the grant year.
No. Now, our first push is to get this health survey ready to go, but we have to pilot it a little bit, too. Make sure it works. So I think that'll be done by October. And then at that point, we hopefully have staff in place for recruitment, and we will be able to begin finding people, basically, which I think will be the biggest challenge we have.
Okay. So you're going to do the recruitment in-house, but using an Acuren account?
Right.
All right.
And I believe Therese is going to do something similar.
Yeah, and I think they were fairly successful with that in the pilot program that we funded to do that. I think they had a reasonably good rate of finding people.
Right.
And we just got the very basic Acuren account because we didn't have any money. So, they'll locate the people for you if you have enough money to do it.
Yeah, we don't have that. We're gonna, and we've had a good relationship with our potential people, so we hope that that will allow us to get them to cooperate.
Okay. All right.
I pulled up Wozniak because those are the other slides that I had.
Okay. Jeff?
I'm ready. Okay, so very briefly, it's all on one slide. This is a description of what we're doing for interactions with the imaging project. And first up is our interactions with Sarah Mattson's decision tree process, which has been started. We have our test battery agreed on and compiled, and we're ordering supplies. Got some great help from Sarah's assistant, Ben. I have just hired two coordinators, one of whom started this week, one who's starting next week. And they're going to be cross-trained on CFAST and some of my other studies, and they're coming to San Diego next week, September 8th and 9th, to be trained on the neuropsych battery by Sarah's people, just for efficiency. And our timeline there is to potentially enroll folks for both neuroimaging and the neuropsych as early as October, and I think we're on track for that. In terms of the interactions with Ken's project, we have a lot of experience with this. He's been here 8 or 9 times over the last years, and so we will likely be setting up a visit with him to come in March or April and see a bolus of kids at one time. Our interactions with Joanne, although not technically CFAST from my end, it is her CFAST project. We're going to be sharing samples with Joanne for her immune studies. We have worked through all kinds of agreements, including material exchange agreements and all the ethics processes, and we currently have sitting at minus 80 degrees, something like 19 samples ready to send to her as soon as we have all the approvals. And the timeline on that is just is ongoing. The samples are coming from one of my other studies that is active, so we're just collecting those and we'll pass them on when we have them. And then finally, we still have a 3D camera in place, so we are essentially ready to collect 3D images for Peter as soon as we start collecting new subjects for the study, which could be as early as October. I mentioned to Peter in an email exchange recently that a handheld camera might be helpful to us going forward. We're still using the big behemoth, but we will regardless be able to collect facial images very soon. And that is it.
Okay, and I think you outlined all the ones. You did propose something with Christy Petranko, and that's just supplying her subjects?
That's simply assisting with recruitment once her study is up and ready. So that we have not taken any official steps on yet, but we have something like, for our imaging study, we have about 300-plus kids who we've already screened and can be recruited for those for that study. So some of those probably will be also in the age range and eligible for her studies.
All right. And Peter, why don't you, I know you don't have any slides, but tell us where you are, and particularly in terms of these handheld cameras that Jeff mentioned.
So we've been focusing on the Bellis 3D handheld camera, and Mike has now been experimenting with a wireless link between that camera and a laptop computer, so that, for instance, you can take a photograph and the laptop automatically picks up the image, and because the Bellis 3D system generates landmarks, it sends the landmarks to the laptop as well, and so you automatically get not all of the landmarks we want. We may have to work with Bellis to get the right ones, but about 85% of the ones we use. And then you can press a button and get a curvature heat map or a signature heat map of the face, you know, where it's different from the match controls. And you can automatically as well get the PFL measure. So you just for free, you know, by just taking the picture and then pressing a button, you're basically getting some feedback on two of the FAS features. And then in the pipeline, we're going to be linking it with a model so knowing the ethnic background of the individual, then you can compare them with a model and do the classification. And that's really the main thing that Mike's been working on, apart from actually writing up some papers hanging over from CFAS 3.
Okay. And everything is good then at Oxford for you now?
Well, we still haven't recruited on the the ultrasound side. The advert has gone out, and we're encouraging the doctoral student to apply. I think she has applied. That is working with Alison at the moment. And the plan was for her to start October 1st. And then, you know, then we can get going properly on that side of things as well.
And what about the Canfield camera, the Vectra one?
Well, we're still using that. the idea was to experiment with the other one, the newer one, because it's smaller, you know, and it's running on a tablet. And so it's going to be very, very flexible. And the company are still planning to make it into mass production by the end of the year. It still isn't quite got the number of points we'd like, but, you know, they keep, as with many companies, they keep promising it will happen. And I'm sure it will. I mean, it's actually come out earlier than our proposed timeline. You know, we said within a year or 18 months, and we're already, you know, got such a camera. So there'll be other companies producing things. And what we're trying to do is make sure our software is generic, and so it would fit in with other cameras as they come along.
Because we have two of those Vectra 3D cameras here now.
Yeah. No, we're still going to use those. But, of course, the Vectra system doesn't do the automatic landmarking. So
right.
That's something that will have to be worked on separately.
Well, I'm thinking Jeff said it would be great to have a handheld camera. Be able to send him one of those. All right. We will send out an email about those, the availability of those for sites as well. All right. Let's see who we have.
I have more slides from people. I can do Tatiana's on now, Petrenko, or the Tories. I can do their slides.
Tatiana's up on the list, so let's get her.
Okay.
Just going,
I've got Leah with
going
me.
Down the list.
We're ready to go.
Don't forget me.
No, you were further down the list, but Tatiana wasn't on. So, and Peter wasn't on, so that's why you were up. But all right, we'll do, how much time we got here? Half hour. We're good. All right.
Okay. All right. So they're up there. So Lee and I, we're here together. So I think let's start with, we've taken the different parts of what's going to be done each year, and I guess we'll talk about year one and what's going on, and then also how we'll interact with other groups as the years go on. So right now, I just want to stress that we have whole exome sequencing data that we are expecting to come out. I don't know what's our expected.
Soon
is what we've been told. So what this is still for us, we're still also, like Peter, still looking at CFAS 3 data. So these are individuals from CFAS 3 that we were able to do whole exome sequencing on with some additional funds that had come in that last year. So we're waiting for that data to come back out again, but that'll be a focus certainly for us as soon as that comes out. The other pieces that we've got, if you were to go down around this, is, of course, Bill, in terms of the CFAS registry and the informatics project. I'll let him cover that if he wants to talk about that some more. The other pieces that are coming in this year is also the ability to do an upload for the website that we'll have. I will admit we have not started on trying to work out that piece. What we have right now is a website construction going on and how we would do what we want to have videos on, just in terms of some general video for the consenting that we'd like to do. And so we've started on that piece first before we start trying to do the upload, although in fairness we probably should have started on that and started that in parallel. Year two is when fonts come, so we're doing nothing on that. Sarah has to do all of her work first. And then, of course, at the bottom of the slide, all the interactions with Christy, that doesn't come until later. So that's sort of where we are right now. The main focus for this year is analyzing the sequence data that still came from CFAS 3 and then working on, and that's for us initially, the website. So our goal is by the end of the year to be consenting and being able to upload 2D images for the first part of that, and then we'll roll in the other assessments after that. Next slide. Oh, there it is. Sorry. I'm looking at the wrong screen. Sorry. My slide didn't move and that one did. Sorry. So looking at the interactions with the animal projects. So as I just said, for the current part, for the whole exome sequencing, we have 221 individuals. We have 50 that we had used as preliminary data for the grant. So that'll be the first part, and I think that's an important piece. We alluded to it in the grant, but that gives us a head start to be able to collaborate with the animal projects. So otherwise we would have been waiting quite a bit longer to have sequence data available. So that will give us initial data that we can share with Johan and Scott. On the right side, of course, the ability to start working with Peter once we have that upload. I don't think realistically we're going to have that many 2D uploads until pretty late in the first year. So I think we'd just be starting to work with Peter on how can we begin to do any kind of analysis off that 2D image. I'm being realistic. And the year two is then when the fonds within year two starts to roll out. And interrupt me. I mean, you're all going to interrupt me when you're ready. Okay. Year three. Sorry, we didn't do one slide. We kind of did it as a series. Year three, then I think we're doing a lot more analysis in terms of we'll have fonds, we have 2D, and then the people who are getting sequenced at that point will have all of that data. That's still a little bit away, and that's why we didn't want to be waiting for that in order to have interactions with other projects. So we'll have the ability to do that once we've started to analyze the whole exome sequence data that supposedly comes any data. And I think we got one more slide, don't we? Yep, and that's just the over. That's straight from the grant, so there's nothing new there. I guess the one question I wanted to ask, if I can, is, you know, when in CFAS 3, and of course in CFAS 3, we had saliva collection from all the individuals from the different projects, and that made a lot of sense because there was central data for all those individuals, and also it was uniform because the individuals were participating in Sarah's project, and there was brain imaging data for those individuals participating in Elizabeth's project. I guess I did want to ask, and that sort of leads into maybe the question for Bill as well, is we didn't propose to be collecting saliva for DNA from individuals that were being seen as different projects, in part because there wasn't going to be the same uniform data that would be collected across all individuals. I did just want to ask if anyone thought that that was a poor decision on our part or if we should be changing that approach. I wanted to ask that.
I'm not quite sure I understand because, I mean, like, you got Jeff and Sarah who are doing fairly similar things. in terms of behavioral assessment, or will be.
It's Joanne. So as you're speaking, Tatiana, it occurs to me that we didn't propose saliva collection. We're just doing blood because we need blood for the immune analyses.
Yep.
But one suggestion between us was that once you are, if you, in the genes you identify, there are immune-related genes, that's something we could look at in our population. But
are you extracting DNA, though? Are you getting like a Buffy code out of anything that you're processing? Are you getting DNA at all from your individuals that you're retaining?
No, we were proposing to collect plasma, but we could revise that.
Well, when you get plasma, when you spin it, you've got a Buffy code sitting right there that you're throwing out in the blood component. I felt really dumb that I didn't make this link earlier.
We could keep that. We could keep that. We did.
We
can
right,
certainly.
We're going to run out of time.
All right. Let's talk offline.
And I can do the same thing with the other projects too. Okay.
All right.
Sorry.
Okay. Hey, Bill, do you want to have anything?
So from the informatics core part of what we're doing, we're working on getting the phase 3 data set ready to be released. I know that there'll be some conversations we'll have to have with the phase 3 project to make sure those data are ready to be released, but that's something we're going to be working on in the first year. And then we've also been working a lot with Tina's group to implement Tableau visualizations and develop the school-age neurobattery with her. Those are kind of the active things that we've been working on over this past, so far already, but we're anxious to start to work with some of the other teams as they have, as their data collection starts to get going and they want to start to get data into the central repository or want to start to have some analytical tools be made available.
All right. Any questions or anything about that? We're going to come back to informatics and, as data starts coming in and what new things we may need and such. Sarah, you up?
Yes. Sorry, I was muted. Okay, so quick start. Share screen. Okay, can you see that?
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. That's as big as it gets. Okay, so I tried to cram everything all into one slide. So this outlines the aims that we have for the overall project. Not all of it was destined to be done in the first year, but we're planning on progress in all domains. I'll just run through it fairly quickly. I know we're kind of tight on time. So for my aim one, this was to continue to examine the decision tree using both archival data and then new data collection. For the archival data, I'm collaborating with Tina. We already talked about that briefly. We've been in touch on that. We're reviewing the data dictionaries. My understanding is that it's in my hands right now. I'm reviewing the data dictionaries to figure out which variables I want to request. I already have IRB approval for that, so we're on track. From that aim, for the second aim, this is for the decision tree, and if you remember, we're developing a mobile application to deploy the decision tree in clinical settings. We've been working closely with the programmer, supported by the administrative core, and that has been absolutely terrific. We have a working version of the app. It still needs some tweaking. It's not quite ready to go live yet, but it's, I'm absolutely thrilled with the way it's going. We've already got our IRB approval for that. We'll have to make some tweaks to that when we finalize our procedures if we have to make any changes to the app. We've done our hiring training. We're in the process of establishing a small subcontract with Minnesota. We have a practice clinic scheduled for a couple weeks from now where Ken is going to come over and see some kids, and we're going to practice working with the app sort of in a live setting. And then for the rest of the year, we'll make adjustments to the E-tree, to the app, and then go live, I'm anticipating, before the end of the year for sure. The ETRI data, a subset of the subjects will be tested with a detailed neuropsychological test battery in the AIM-1C. We have already, well, the battery was already planned when we put in our grant proposal. We made a couple tiny little changes, and we have purchased all of our materials. We've done our local training. As Jeff mentioned, we've got his two RAs coming next week, so we're excited to host them for that training. We're making a big transition to an electronic data collection, and I didn't put a check there, but we're really close to being ready to complete that data, or that transition, rather. And then we started some pilot testing, and we'll continue our pilot testing, and we can't do any validation until we start recruiting subjects through the ETRI, but I anticipate that that will start at the beginning of the year, next calendar year. And then finally, our aim two was to develop the FONS that will be incorporated into the web portal that Tatiana just talked about. It certainly is in very much in the planning stages, and we have a lot more to do on that front, and we're hoping to make a lot of progress before the end of the year.
Well,
and that's it.
It sounds like you've already made a lot of progress. So.
I am really thrilled with how we're doing. You know, September with school starting is a little bit of a crazy time just for our lab and also for the subjects. They're, you know, it's harder to get people to come in September, so I feel like we made some really good progress over the summer that we can bank.
I'm going to cut
September.
You off now.
Okay.
I'm going to cut you off because we've got to move on to Scott.
Yep.
Scott?
Okay. Yep. I'm up here. Share screen. Do I need to flip screens?
Did you hit Grace? It's still not sharing screen.
It's still not sharing screen.
Quick
okay.
Start, share screen.
I hit. Oh, sorry. Here we go. It wanted me to select the monitor. There we go. Okay, I'll be super fast. We actually started collecting embryos prior to our funding starting. So once the funding got in, we were ready to go with our RNA sequencing. So it's been over to the RNA sequencers. We got our first batch of data last week. We should get our second batch of data hopefully soon. They can never give us an exact timeline, but hopefully soon. And then we have a meeting tomorrow with the bioinformatics people to start analyzing that as soon as we get that data. And this is the data for the baseline differences between our two different substrains of mice, which we're really excited about, just to see what the baseline differences are between these two substrains. And then once we get these data analyzed, then that's going to give us a whole bunch of genes that are different in Johann. Will help us narrow those down with his zebrafish, and then, of course, we can report these candidate genes to Tatiana and Leah, who can then look for differences in these genes in their whole exome sequencing project. And in reverse, Tatiana's whole exome sequencing should reveal some differences between the affected and not affected, and we can, of course, confirm those in zebrafish and in mice in the brains and face of mice with Peter Hammond. So like I said, this initial experiment is almost done. And then our next experiment will be to compare the initial differential response to a high dose of alcohol, the one that typically causes the face, and then with further confirmation. And we're hoping to start this experiment has already been started. We've collected most of the embryos, I think, and once we do that, we can submit them for sequencing. And then if we have enough money, based on suggestions by Dan and others, is that we may compare the initial differential response to a low dose of alcohol as well. And if we do that, it'll probably be early January, maybe February. And that's where we are.
All righty.
So we're making good progress.
Is Christy on yet? I'd like her to be on when her things. I know Christiana's on could do it, but let's see if
I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm in a old office somewhere that I'm not used to. So the phone.
Are you ready to go?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, because we've got 10 minutes left.
Ours will take about a minute and a half.
Okay. It's a lot of progress then.
So, Jill, do you want to share mine, or should I go ahead and put it on at the quick start?
You can go ahead and put it on. It's on your presenter.
All right. So here are the interconnections that we have in our grant, as we showed previously, including primarily with referral and recruitment through the web portal and other projects. For this year, our focus is on developing of the mobile health intervention. We'll have some consultation with the Administrative Corps as needed, but the predominant interactions with other projects relating to the web portal and referral will be planned to start around the end of year two. Our team is meeting weekly and as a group, and then we're making pretty steady progress on the development of the app and dealing with some big picture issues as we think through how best to design the interface and interactive features of the app.
Okay. And you had an important meeting yesterday, I guess, where they highlighted your project throughout the university.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations on that. And hopefully they'll throw additional funding your way.
That would be great.
Get more done in a shorter amount of time.
Yep.
Joanne.
Yes. Can you share my screen? I'm hitting quick start. I don't get anything. Okay, wait. Share screen. Okay. All right. Okay, so two specific aims. One is to use validation cohorts to confirm the utility of the immune parameters in mothers and children as possible biomarkers, and then to extend our work to adult cohorts. And as you heard, that's in collaboration with Claire and Therese. Our interactions. So with Tina Chambers Group, we will have samples from matched mother-infant pairs from the newly recruited Ukraine cohorts and can not only look at immune measures, but we'll have Bailey scores on them and cardiac orienting response together with Tina and Julie, and be able to correlate immune and other cognitive behavioral outcome measures, physiological as well. In addition, we will have the same samples as Rajesh and Kazue from the infants. And so we can begin to look at sort of possible multiple biomarker approaches those samples. With Ken and Tina, we are going to take advantage of the San Diego Registry with the FASD research subject pool at Brady Children's Hospital. Subjects from there will be called back by Ken for follow-up blood sampling and health assessments, and for as part of once he is developing the registry, and I know that's already quite far along. For those born in San Diego County, we also have a maternal mid-gestation blood sample, and we have newborn blood spots on those same individuals. So that's a powerful set of samples to look at early and later markers, as well as correlating with what's happening in the mom. And so those will be children with FASD, partial FASD, and so on, as seen by Ken. But then Sarah has generously agreed to, for the subject she is recruiting as controls for her AIM-1B, to ask whether they're willing to share their contact information with us. And for those that will, we can hopefully recruit them as our control subjects. With Jeff, he already mentioned, as part of his choline clinical trials, he's already collecting samples, and we're excited about that. And so we'll have children exposed to alcohol at various levels, with choline or without. And once he has a sufficient number of samples, we can get those and start working on those right away. So that will be sort of advance at least that one aspect of the project pretty quickly. And then our work with the adults, with Claire and Therese, each of whom are recruiting cohorts, and we are as well. So the three of us are working together. We are working to finish off the health survey. We should be able to get that back to them. We are not collecting a registry in advance. We are working and meeting regularly with Tim Oberlander and his group, and have a meeting scheduled for after Labor Day, the next follow-up meeting. And with that will be Jan Lutke, Brenda Knight, Chris Locke, and that will be a meeting specifically on recruiting. And we anticipate that hopefully we'll be ready to actually begin recruiting adult subjects by the end of the fall or January at the latest, once we've got the money released, and that hopefully will be soon, as I said, and then have hired some research assistants and trained them and have all of the surveys and materials in place. We will be doing exactly what Claire and Therese are doing in terms of questionnaires and a much broader set of outcomes beyond health, and then be able to relate all of those to each other. From those adult subjects, we'll be taking 2D images that we can share with Peter. We have potential to interact with the Blanchard Project, with his animal project and our clinical project, to look at immune and microbiome markers in parallel, and that may provide some input for us to look at other markers in our subjects, and I know that Tina and Tom have plans to interact along those same lines. So, again, potentially that's going to be a novel collaboration, a way for us to extend our work. And then Tatiana to at least interact in terms of immune-related genes, and we'll talk offline on how we can interact further. And then, of course, we'll be interacting with the cores. The timeline is it'll take a little while to gear up, although with Jeff's samples and with our recruitment, we will have blood samples from at least Jeff's child cohort, and we hope from a good subset of our adult cohort by the end of this first grant year. Other samples will come in then starting in year 2 and 3 and 4. But as we go, we will be analyzing samples and hopefully be able to begin to develop papers on subsets of the various cohorts as we go.
Okay. Tom, any issues, questions? Tom Blanchard's not here. We have 4 minutes left. The Tories?
All right. So,
try to be as quick as you can. So.
Okay. So here's the summary of the project. So we want to have a paper blood market for the first cognitive programs. And so here's the summary of the interaction with the other investigators. So the main the interaction is with Dr. Chambers through the subcontract, and we will obtain the human blood samples from her Ukraine cohort, as well as the behavior the parameters. And so the obtained human blood, and then so they obtained the RNA-seq data of especially the mouse samples can be shared with doctors Weinberg and Blanchard if there are any like inflammation-related genes, and also these samples these data sets can be also shared with Dr. Chambers, Weinberg, Blanchard, and Eberhardt panel group. So basically that's it. So these are the details. So I want to stop here.
Okay. So you seem to be on track, although there's a lot of dependence on some of the other projects. But it sounds like you are raring to go, and you got your IRB approval, so all's good.
Yeah,
and
thank
then,
you.
Tom Donaldson, you guys still on? Anything you'd like
to? Yes. Well, just quickly,
I think you actually referenced this in the last call in July, Ed, but support for the NOFAS involvement in CFAS 4, it hasn't quite yet been finalized. That should happen next month in September. It won't be under the U24 mechanism, and the scope hasn't been confirmed yet. It'll likely, though, it'll look more like the NOFAS role in CFAS 3 rather than include all the components in the proposal for this round. But I do have a, if you want me to, I do have a slide that I can throw up.
Absolutely, because regardless of NIAAA's machinations on this, I want you guys to be involved in CFAS. So I don't care how they do it, but.
Well, of course, the essential, the collaboration with the Corps and the investigators and the NIAAA, of course, is the essential part of what we have been doing and would be doing here. And then just to highlight in year one, recruitment, obviously the continuation of the promotion of when the investigators complete their post-acceptance forms and they have published research, NOFAS will be promoting that, incorporating that into our presentations. We do also want to do non-technical abstracts with 1 to 3 slides with everyone that is, of course, updated that we can use in our briefings. If there are educational products that have been developed, for instance, like Ken's DVDs and materials, we would aggressively promote those. And I know, Ed, that you proposed doing some computer applications, and NOFAS has some ideas for concepts and content there. Another thing that I think that NOFAS can be important is continually to provide sort of the, as we say here, the non-stigmatizing language and this family and stakeholder perspective beyond the one that you all, of course, have. And we have proposed and hope that we'll be able to go forward also in just developing a concept paper for a conference, possibly here in Washington, D.C., including health officials from the U.S. and perhaps beyond, obviously featuring all the research.
Okay, and remember, the admin corps does have a subcontractor with someone who does develop apps, and so if we can be of assistance in getting some of the things that you wanted to get done in your proposal done, we can still do that. All right.
That's right, and that was the thinking.
All right. I guess we've gone through everyone who's available. The SAB people were all busy doing other things today. I want to urge everyone to try to keep this time available. These calls are important, and they provide you a way to tell NIAAA what you're doing, and as we all know, that's very important. If there are any other questions, if there aren't any other questions, we can say goodbye and go our merry ways and finish our day and recover from vacation.
Hey, Ed, I did want to thank everybody and Jill for pulling this together. I think it's clear on our part that you guys have hit the ground running, and these presentations have really helped us remember and kind of delineate all the interactions that you guys have proposed. So thank you.
All right. Can you and Dale stay on after everyone is up?
I just wanted to, in following up on what Dr. Harold had said, that having, or I can't remember if it was Bill or Dale, but having something quantifiable to measure, for those of you that are new, it looks like a chart or something, and it sounds like a lot of people are doing a lot of behind-the-scenes work in the first year, but here's an example of what the Ukraine project from last round had and what we were able to measure on a month-by-month basis. So if you can think about for your project what your chart or table or measurable would be, that would be really helpful.
Can you send us that, Jill?
It's available.
Yeah, you also have access to it online, but I can definitely send it around.
Okay, okay.
And the Google Docs are there, so you can see how they look and where people are. But what we're trying to do is to get an idea of what was promised in the application and what's been delivered. you know, we're focusing on deliverables. We're getting a lot of money to do certain things, and we want to be able to show people that we've accomplished a great deal, and we're not just sitting around wasting the money. All right, so that's the purpose of those, and they're available on the CFAS website for the researchers. Everyone should know how to get on there, and we'll go from there. All righty, well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And
thank you, Ed. Bye.
Take care.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ed, it's Michael. Do you want me to stay?